Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim.
Reading from Revelation chapter 3, the last part of the letter to the church of Philadelphia, beginning at verse 10. Revelation 3, the 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we'll have what we need from them. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Let's pray that God will apply that to us. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ, giving thanks in His name for all that has been given, asking in His name for that which we need, both that we know we need, and we pray that we may be taught what we need and how great our need is. Lord Jesus, You have told us that without Thee we can do nothing, and we pray that we may know it rightly, that we may know it before Thee, Father, that we may know it even with others as well, that we are as helpless as others and as sinful as others, that we may know these things together, and especially in the church, that we might be made one in humbleness, one in understanding, one in faith and obedience as well, and especially one in love to Thee and to our neighbor, love and thankfulness for Thy giving Christ. And again we pray, Father, that we might know rightly that great need of Him at all times. We give thanks, Father, for giving us this word, and we pray for Thy Spirit to lead us into the truth of it as an example and as Thy teaching, Lord Jesus, to them and also to us. We pray for all of the church and all of the world, especially the persecuted church, that it might know Thy promise, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We also give thanks for the freedom that we have from persecution, and pray that we might use that while we have it, that we may be a salt and light in our nation, and that the church might be that in every nation. If we are a salt that hath lost its savor, bring us to repentance and to revival. We pray, Father, for the temporal needs also of those in sickness, injury, sorrow, hunger, homelessness, the war-torn lands, the calamities in nature, all these things, Father, we pray that we might see Thy healing hand in the sick and the injured, that we might see Thy blessing on those that need food and home, and Father, for those that are dying, we pray especially that they might have Thy word before the hour of death. We pray for our schools, our workplace, our leaders, all of these, Father, we beg of Thee that Thou would look on us through Christ and bring us to repentance, to revival, that we may not go on in our sin till judgment comes. For Thy glory, in Christ, amen. As we look again at this letter to the Church of Philadelphia, one of the churches that was commended, one of the churches that were given these wonderful promises, and as we begin to read of this tenth verse, the Lord Jesus said through the pen of John, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." We spoke of that somewhat last week. There is the temptation that comes on all the world in a way of trial that will come in the end. The Lord Jesus spoke about it the last week of His life here before His death, and we read about it in the further in the book of Revelation, and also Daniel tells us many things. All of these are prophecies of the end times. We also think of the church that never came to such a place as this church at Philadelphia and heard the word as they did, but in the picture that Christ gives and the parable of the sower, some of that fell upon the shallow ground or upon the rock, and in time of temptation fell away. They never came to this place, and we fear there are many in that sad situation today. As we can read in the Gospel of Mark, we read, "These are they which were sown on the stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. But in time of persecution, for the word's sake, they fall away." And Luke, we read that these are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy and have no root, and for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So sometimes the word persecution is used, sometimes temptation, and these things will come to the church. But the Lord Jesus says that he will keep them. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Whether they'll be kept from experiencing it like others, or whether they'll be kept in it, only God knows. This was a promise to them particularly, but it also may have application to the true church today. When we think of this word of patience, we think of what was spoken a little later in the book of Revelation. We think of the description of what he describes as patience in the 13th chapter of Revelation, the 10th verse. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. In the last part of the 10th verse, herein is the patience of the faith of the saints. And probably more plain in the next chapter, chapter 14, the 12th verse, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. That is the true patience. Those that begin in that, those that continue in that. When John wrote his epistles, he said, this is the commandment of God, that they believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Here we read, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. These are described as having kept the word of his patience, and he says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world. God has told us much. Many speculate much on what's going to happen, but only God knows, and we do not know what's going to happen, but we do know the way to prepare, the way to keep the word of his patience, to keep the gospel first of all, and to keep God's commandments as well. And if we do that, the rest will follow in a way that God keeps us, protects us, as he promised here. Then in the 11th verse we read, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We know that Satan is always there to tempt, as well as persecutors, and many times the danger is there, not in the time of persecution, but in the time when the church rests at ease. God tells us by the Old Testament prophet, woe unto those when Zion is at ease. When we think of another church, the last church here, we read of those that were lukewarm. And in a way, we can lose it quicker that way than through persecution. When there is persecution, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they are kept. But the Lord Jesus said of those that were lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And the woes that are there to those that are at ease in Zion, as the Old Testament prophet spoke of it. So here he says, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. First of all, it must be sought, found, asked for, and then to hold fast to it. There is a struggling. There is God's keeping us, but at the same time, there is our striving, and both are there in Scripture. We read this morning of Jacob leaving Laban. On the one hand, he claimed God's promises, that what God had promised to him, that his seed would be many, God would keep him. On the other hand, he was very fearful because he knew that his brother Esau was coming with 400 men. And he prepared how to keep his wives and his children, to divide them if Esau should come with the men and seek to destroy them. So on the one hand, he planned, he schemed. On the other hand, he trusted the Lord. And we probably often are between those two things. One is trust in the Lord, and the other is trust in ourselves, But first of all, it must be in the Lord. Here he states that, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And then with the promise, in the 12th verse, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. We see that described in Revelation chapter 21. Throughout that chapter, we won't read the whole chapter. In the second verse, we read, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Here is that holy city, New Jerusalem, that the Lord Jesus tells them through the pen of John. He said, I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. We have the description of that. We have the promise of it here. And then further into this chapter, we read in the 10th verse of Revelation 21, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And then he describes the great wall, the 12 gates, and all named with the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then we see further, verse 16, the city lieth four square, the length is as large as the breadth, and he that measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and breadth and height of it are equal. It is beyond our imagination, but is there promised that it's going to come down, and promised to this church at Philadelphia that he will write the new name if they overcome every attack of Satan, overcome the world, overcome the flesh, then they will have this, and this will be for all those who overcome in the end. Again, it's beyond our understanding. God tells us already by the Old Testament prophet, and Paul repeats it as he writes to the church at Corinth, that eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. And here he is giving a description, a promise of it, and then the description of it throughout this whole chapter. In the 22nd verse of this 21st chapter, we read, I saw no temple therein, in this city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The last verse of the chapter, he tells us who will be in and who will not be allowed to come in that city. The 27th verse, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Once again, we see different ways. One is here, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and the name of the city of my God. But here we also read, which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That book was already there before the foundation of the world. And as we said in our previous messages, how that God showed his love. And he says, I will show others to know that I have loved thee. That love began in God's plan. And it is because God gives us what we need that we can overcome. The promise is there to overcome. God uses his word to teach us. God uses his word to rebuke us, correct us, And as we said at the beginning, to instruct us in righteousness, it is through the Word, but also by the mighty power of the Spirit. I think again of as an example, the church of Thessalonica, when Paul said, we came not in word only, but in power with the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. He said, in that way we know your election. We know that your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of what took place now, the proof of it. And that is true here, and we need to see both of those ways. We are called to obey, but as the song states, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We gain all that we need in trust from Christ, from God. But if we do trust Him, we'll also trust His Word that it's the right way for us to hear, to obey. That is the better way, not to earn our salvation, but to believe that God's way is the best, to honor Him for our neighbor and for ourselves as well. God's way is always right. Without God's Spirit in us, as Christ said, you can do nothing. We need it to be part of Him, to be engrafted into Him, to be taught by Him, and then to be kept by Him. And then He keeps us both by His Word and Spirit. And here He is stating what He will do. I will write upon Him my new name. It is an overcoming. And in the end of this letter, we read, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Plural. We need to hear this letter to this particular church, but also the message to all of the churches. Some churches may need one part of God's Word more than another. Sometimes exhortation, rebuke. We think of the letter to the church at Corinth, dealt with certain things. The letter to the church at Galatia dealt with other things. One was more in the way of obedience. The other was more in the way of trusting, believing, warning against trusting in their own works. The Galatians went back to that. He says, received of the Spirit by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law. The Corinthians were slow in doing the works of the law, and they had to be exhorted in that area. So we need all those letters. Probably sometimes one more than another, but he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's true of the church at Rome, the Corinthians, the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, the Philippians, and every church here, the seven churches at Asia. They all have a message for us. And especially, even as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, Israel was an example for the church at Corinth, and for us as well, as he says, upon whom the ends of the earth have come. We need every word. As Moses already wrote, and the Lord Jesus repeated in this, when Satan tempted him, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If everyone believed every word, as we should, that would be the right beginning of bringing us to the answer of Christ's prayer, that they might be one, as He and the Father are one, that the world will know that God has sent Christ. He says, the Father has sent me. That is so desperately needed. We look around at the world and we know what's wrong with the world, but do we give them an answer? Do they see the answer in us? And do they hear the answer from us? We must have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the churches for ourselves, and then for others. Even as Christ said, take the beam out of your own eye first, then you'll see clearly to take the splinter out of another's eye. This particular church has wonderful promises from the wonderful Savior. And let's not forget that. Who wrote this letter? These things saith he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he openeth, and no man shutteth, and he shutteth, and no man openeth. He is, as we also read in other places in the book of Revelation, Lord of lords and King of kings. And at the same time, he's the humble Savior that was willing to be made a curse for us, willing to go to that terrible death of the cross, but then overcame it and rose again. And he's up in heaven when he writes this, writing it from heaven, speaking to John, and from heaven speaking to us, telling us these same things as he tells these seven churches here and the other churches as well. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. All we have to do is overcome. He does all the rest. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God. Christ does all of this. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man. And he is the one that this church believed in. And it's the only reason why they could be what they are, before God and before others. As we learned in the earlier part of the letter, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Again, trust and obey. And as the song that we sang today, we need to give him praise because of it. The second stanza states, praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, for our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock and hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Yes, he's to be believed and praised for his glory, our present and eternal good, and for our neighbor as well.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.